So God, we thank you this morning for your presence with us. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you come to inhabit us, to fill us, to transform us, and to teach us and to lead us. We submit to you, Lord. We give ourselves over to you, and we thank you for your amazing love and your purposes for us. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can have a seat, and those who are in third grade and under are going to head downstairs. And this morning, Kaylee is going to come and share. She has a message that God has been working on in her heart for a while now, and she's going to come and share that. So would you give her a warm welcome as she comes?
Good morning, everyone. It's so nice to see you all here. I'm so excited that you can make it out on this rainy day. So I want to start off by saying God is so in love with every person, and that's everyone here. And I think oftentimes we miss out on the amazing things that he has available to us. And you see, the life that God calls us to is one of joy, in peace and abundance, where we're validated and valued and loved and cared for. So today I just want to highlight some of those amazing things and life-changing and transforming things that his love has to offer. So I want you all just to close your eyes and just picture a life free of anxiety and worry. You don't have to worry about anything. You don't have to worry about a mortgage. You don't have to worry about your kids. You don't have to worry about your job or money. Just imagine how amazing that could be. So now I want you all just to open your eyes. Well, the incredible thing about that is with the relationship with Jesus, that is 100% possible. You see, when we have God's love, we don't have to worry or have anxiety or fear about things, whether they go wrong. We don't have to worry about finances or the kids or the marriage or whatever, because he loves us. You see, I think oftentimes I found myself bogged down by anxieties and fear when I don't have to, because God promises me that he'll take care of me. I don't have to figure things out. I don't have to be exhausted staying up late at night because things aren't going my way. You see, Matthew 6:25, it says, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, about your body, what you wear. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothes? Look at the birds in the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single thing to your life?" So what I love about that especially is what it says at the end. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? So you see, when we worry, that does absolutely nothing. It doesn't solve anything. And honestly, what worrying does is it puts you through those bad things again. So say you could be worrying about something that's not even going to happen, but you worried about it. So you're putting that yourself through that for the first time when you don't even have to. You see, God promises us a good future. Jeremiah 29:11 says this, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and to give you a future and a hope." You see, God promises us to prosper us, to give us a future and a hope. Those are all good things. And I think the next verse, Ephesians 3:20, this really puts it into perspective. It says, "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is work within us." You know, what Paul is saying here, I love it. What he's saying is when we ask God for this, God gives us so much more than that. You see, I know with my life, I've been blessed a lot. My parents are incredible. I'm in school, which is mostly paid for. I have a great job. I've had tons of great pets. I was able to go to Israel. I've been to Mexico. My life has been really great. And you know, none of those things required any work on my part. You see, I didn't have to worry about those things. I didn't have to put them into place. I didn't have to waste my time and energy doing that. Know why? Because God did it for me. You see, they didn't require any work on my part. You see, God doesn't need our expertise or our opinion or our worry. And you know, I think oftentimes we get in the way of the plan that he has when we worry, when we try to figure things out, when we go ahead of his plan, when we do those things so that we don't have to. You see, oftentimes when things go wrong or things aren't going the way that we choose, we try to fix it ourselves. And we end up exhausted and tired and just burdened down, and we have no energy. For example, your finances. I think a lot of people worry about that. But the thing is, okay, the Bible talks about how the number of hairs on your head are numbered. If God knows something so not important, don't you think he knows about all the important things that you actually think about? I think what God is saying to us, like this song said, is to leave those things to him. Those are not yours to fight. Those are his to fight. I think that if we give those battles to God, we can do that because then we know that he always does end up with the victory. I think always we feel like we have more peace if we have control. But the problem with that is you never will ever have full control. You see, there is always something to worry about. There's a million things that could go wrong that you could worry about. Your kids, they're not making good decisions. You want them to follow Jesus, they're not doing it. Your marriage, it's not going well. You don't know what's gonna happen. Your job, you don't know. With the pandemic, you can lose it at any point. Your house, there's so many things to worry about. And the thing is about having control is we're not meant to have control. You see, God is the one who is meant to be control. I'm not meant to be control. And when we get into God's business and we try to be in control, we end up exhausted because we're not meant to be. And I think a lot of times the pain that we experience and the heartache and the sadness that we experience is because we are trying to be control, and we can avoid that by just giving it to God and letting him be in control. For example, if I'm in a relationship, whether it be romantic or friendships, that I know is not good, and God is telling me, hey, this person doesn't love me. This person doesn't have the same vision as you. They're not walking with me like you are. And I say, no, God, I want to do this. I'm going to do this. I don't care. And we get hurt. That's not God punishing me. That's the natural consequence of my actions. That hurt is not on God. That hurt is on me for disobeying him. You see, consequences can be good or bad. You see, a good consequence would be if I'm spending my money correctly and wisely, and I'm tithing and I'm trusting in Jesus, the good consequence is I'm going to be good off financially. You see, because consequences are a natural response to an action. So for example, if I were to decide to jump off the building and I were to be injured, that pain is not on God. That's a natural consequence for my actions. But you see, what if we, instead of that, we trusted God to give us more than we can ask for, and we leave those things up to him? You see, what if instead of worrying about money, we spent it responsibly and honored him and trusted that he will provide? What if instead of worrying about our kids and the decisions that we're making, we give them to God and we say, I'm going to work on myself so that I can be an example of Christ to my kids? Because you see, like we said, worrying doesn't solve anything. Worrying is not going to make the people that you want do the things that you want. It's not going to make the things that you want not happen. It does absolutely nothing. Anything. The thing is we don't have to hold on to those burdens, but we choose to. You see, God, when we talked about in breathing room, God says that his burden for us is light, that he doesn't want us to carry those. But I think one of the things that holds us back is not that we don't necessarily want to hold on, but we're not aware of God's promises and his character. You see, I think that if every person who is following Jesus truly believed and knew his character and knew what his promises were, they would have absolutely no problem giving him complete control. You see, it would be at a point where you would want to give God control because you know what he has is so good. You see, not being able to trust God is the symptom. The sickness is not believing in who he says he is. If you're unwilling to trust in God, that's because you don't know his character and you don't believe his promises. So, for example, like we said, Jeremiah 29:11. So God here is promising us good plans to prosper us and to give him a future, give us a future and a hope. If we truly believe that, if you truly deep down believe what God has in store for me is good and what he promises me is good, you would have no problem with when he says no, when he says wait, when you don't have the answers because you trust that what he does have is good. The next one, what we talked about earlier in Matthew. Okay, so another one, he promises that he will provide for us. If you truly believe that God will provide for you, you wouldn't worry about money because you know that God will give you the money. So if I were you and you're struggling with trusting in God today, I would ask him, God, open my eyes to see your character. Open my eyes to see your goodness and help me to believe those promises, that he would reveal the truth to you, that he does care, that he will take care of you, that his plans are good, and that he does love you. I struggled with this for a really long time. There were some things that it was really hard for me to give over to God, and I would give them over for a second, but then I would just take them back. I would say, okay, God, I put them in your hands, and then I would pick them right back up again. And what I learned is the reason why I couldn't give them to God was because I didn't believe his promises. You see, if I don't believe his promises, I can't give it over to him because I don't think what he has is good. You see, you can surrender all you want, but you will always try to seize back control. So I would say if this is something that you're struggling with, ask God, God, help me believe in your goodness and your promises. Help me to believe in you, who you say you are, so I can have the freedom to let go and let you. You see, anxiety and fear are not from him. We don't have to live with that, but we choose to. But when we take back control, we choose to when we worry. We choose to when we try to figure things out, but we don't have to. You see, because God has amazing things for us, and I think it would be terrible if we missed out on those trying to take back that control when we're not meant to have it. I think another thing that we miss out on is not knowing our full value in Jesus. I think there's a lot of people today who struggle with insecurities and feeling that they're not enough, feeling that they don't measure up, feeling that they're not good enough, but that's because they're looking for their value in the wrong places. You see, if you look for your value in Jesus and that's where you get your validation, you will not be left with feeling empty and insecure, because when we find our value in Jesus, we never feel empty and insecure. And I think one of the big ways that people struggle with this is comparison. When we compare ourselves, we are robbing ourselves of the uniqueness that God has purposefully placed on us. You see, comparison takes away our joy and confidence with how God made us or how he's blessed us or our abilities, our appearance, whatever it may be. It says that God had made a mistake. You know, it can come in so many different ways. It can come in your appearance. It can come in your title, your financial status, your earthly possessions. So many things, your abilities, and even your own relationship with Jesus. But that's the thing. If God wanted you to be more like another person, he would have made another them. You see, God called us to be like himself, not like another person. The goal as believers should be to be more like Jesus, not those around us. And what if instead of comparison, we chose to focus on ourselves and making us better, working on being the best that we can be and not being the second best of someone else. Romans 12:6, now we're here. I love this verse, what he's talking about. He says, in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. You see, God has given us so many gifts and talents, abilities, and our personality to glorify him. And that's his purpose, that we would use that to honor and glorify him. What if instead of trying to compete and compare with others, that we partnered with them to honor him? God's plan for us is that we embrace our uniqueness and use it to bring honor and glory to him. But when we compare ourselves, we're not able to do that. Our focus is somewhere else. You see, when you find yourself falling into the comparison trap, I would have you speak this truth over yourself. God made me for what he has called me to do. This next verse, I love it. It says, he would take great delight in you. In his love, he will no longer rebuke you, but rejoice over you with singing. You see, God rejoices over you and your uniqueness. Your uniqueness and the way that you are is not a mistake, but purposefully placed upon you to fulfill a calling that only you can fill. The other way we struggle with self-worth is, where are we looking for our value? When we don't feel like we're loved or we're validated or we're important, we look for it in other places or other people. But the problem is that when we do that, we usually look for it in the places that won't give it to us. I think it's so important, because if we were convinced of who we are in Christ and what he says about us, we wouldn't rely on validation or love from anyone else. And what I mean by that is, for me, an example from my own life, I'm like a very sensitive person. So if someone corrects me or says something to me, it really would break down like my self-esteem. I would really get down on myself. I would feel bad about myself, and it was just a whole mess. But then I learned that when that happens, I don't have to do that because of what Christ says about me, that he is the one that defines me. And Liza Turkish, she said this in her book. She says, live from the abundant place that you are loved, and you won't find yourself begging others for scraps of love. I love that. I'm going to read it again. Live from the abundant place that you are loved, and you won't find yourself begging others for scraps of love. When we know we're loved in Jesus, we're validated, so we don't go looking for it through other people, whether that's people, whether that's things, whether that's your appearance, whether that's your financial status, your money, whatever it may be. Because when we don't feel like we measure up, we look for it. Every person has a desire to be loved and to be validated and worthy, but we're supposed to find that in Jesus. A few examples of that could be if you're always in a relationship because you feel like if you don't have one, you're not good enough. It could be you get all the nice clothes and all the cool outfits because you just want others to see you as cool. It could be you at work, you have so many degrees and so much education because you want your peers to view you as successful and smart. It could be through your kids. You push your kids so hard to be the best that they can be and to be better because you get your self-esteem from how they are compared to the kids around them. When we lack confidence, we look for others to give it to us. But what if we don't rely on that? You see, we don't rely on others, people, as our validation. And instead, we rely on Jesus and what he says about us, so we're able to give the love of Christ to others. If I'm focused on meeting the needs of others, I won't be as desperate to receive the approval of others. When Christ is the one that defines us, we're able to be the givers of love and not the beggars of love. You see, God's mission for us is that we give his love to others. But you cannot do that if you're trying to gain their love. It's one or the other. And if I'm trying to people please and I'm trying to get others to like me or get them to laugh or be popular, I'm not focusing on what my true mission is, which is spreading his love. So the last one that I want to talk about is a fulfillment. I think so often I find myself selling myself short of the life that God truly has available to me. With the life of Jesus, we can have a life of abundance and of joy and of peace and of fulfillment where no matter what happens, no matter what pain we go through, that we can be full, that we can have just a sense of purpose and mission no matter what, because we have Jesus. And I love this next verse, John 8:12. He says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. When we have a relationship with Jesus, we can walk in the light. We can be that shining light where we have so much joy and we're overflowing that it goes out to other people so that we're a testament to his love to other people. But if I'm being honest, there's so many times in my life where that's not what it feels like for me, where I'm just trying to survive, just making it through the day, where I'm just trying to get through the week, where I'm just trying to get through the weekend, where I have no joy and I'm sad and unfulfilled. But that's not God's purpose for us. So I love coming to church. I get so excited every Sunday. I feel fulfilled, and it really does kind of recharge me for the week. And I was thinking about this week. I was like, what makes the church so special? And there's two things that I realized. The first thing is it's not a feeling. It's not what we experience here should not be a feeling that we have. Number two, it's not really about the music or the people or the preaching or the ministries. What makes this church so different is that we are in the presence of God, that God's presence is here in this church. But the great thing about that is that it's not restricted here. So it's not a feeling, but we're going to call it a feeling. So that what we experience here doesn't just have to be here. How great it is here does not just have to be here, and honestly, it shouldn't. I think it would be really tragic if the only time that we experience God's presence is on Sunday. I think that would be really sad, because the point of this, yes, is to get closer to Jesus and fellowship, but so that we could take this out into the world, so that we would be a light and a beacon to those around us. Because what we have here, what makes it so special, is his presence. And if that's available to us all the time out there, what's stopping us from having that in the everyday life? Being in his presence is not restricted here, and it's not meant to be restricted here. When we have a relationship with Jesus, we don't have to wait for the weekend. We don't have to just get through life without purpose, where we're just trying to get through barely above the surface. For every follower of Jesus, there's that chance to be overflowing no matter your circumstance, situation, or the day. So yes, waking up on Monday morning can be full of joy, where you're overflowing. So John 15:11, I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy will be complete. So with Jesus, we have the opportunity to have joy. So when we have a relationship with Jesus, when we wake up every morning, we can have peace. We can have joy. We can just have a life overflowing where you just are so full and excited to be alive because you have a mission to spread Jesus, where you have Jesus in your life. So it doesn't matter what your circumstances are. So for me, there's three things that have really changed this area in my life. So the first one is focusing on God's presence actively. So Psalm 16:11, You make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence, with eternal pleasures at your right hand. So fill me with joy in your presence. So I want to make this loud and clear. We experience that joy and that fullness and that light by being in his presence. That is what makes you full, is being in the presence of God. So I used to have a little Ford that basically it fell apart. So there was this incredible family, they're great family friends of ours, and they let me use their car. And you see, their car was newer, so it had tons of radio stations versus my car had like two, but it's fine. So when on my way to work, my 30-minute drive, I would go in between all the stations that were playing what we would call here the Jesus music. So like, if I didn't like a song, I would switch, go to another station. Then I would, if there was a commercial, I would go back to the other station, and it was 30 minutes of just being in God's presence, and it changed my life. It changed my outlook. It's not a feeling that I could explain, but I was bursting with joy and purpose like I had never experienced before. You see, being in his presence is fulfilling in itself, and that is what it gives you life, is doing life with Jesus by being in his presence. Psalm 40:16. But may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. May those who long for your saving help always say, the Lord is great. But may all who search for you be filled with joy and gladness in you. So by searching for Jesus, we have joy. So what does that mean? So searching for Jesus means spending time with him. And there's a lot of different ways that we can do that. The first one is spending time in prayer. See, prayer is constant conversation and communication with God. It's constantly talking to him. It could be thanking him for some things. It could be telling him your emotions, how you're feeling. It could be in moments of weakness saying, God, help me to be more like you. The second one is spending time in the Bible. The Bible is described as God's love letters to us, and by reading the Bible every day and soaking it in, we're in the presence of God. The third one is filling our mind with good things. So I used to love to listen to all the popular rap and hip hop groups, but I realized they're not bringing me closer to Jesus. So I've stopped that. And there's three things that I ask myself, whether it's listening to music, watching TV, or who I choose to spend my time with. So friends and family. The first one is, it doesn't help me experience God's presence. You see, my goal, what I want in life more than anything, is to be as close to God as possible. And with that, you need to be in his presence. So things that are actively pushing me away from his presence, I don't want in my life. So in the example of people, Jesus spent time with everyone. He loved everyone. But the people that were influential, the people that spoke into his life, were people who also wanted to follow God like he did. We can give love to everyone, but not everyone needs to be influential in our lives. For me, I found there's two types of people that I want to be influential in my life. The first one is people who are walking in step with Jesus where I am. And what I mean by that is people who are kind of similar to where they are in their faith that I am, where it's not like I'm pulling them along in their relationship with Jesus, where it's like, okay, come on, but we're walking together. So then if I'm struggling with something or I'm having moments of weakness, they can say, hey, come on, let's go and run the race together. The second one is people who may be more far along in their relationship with Jesus than you are. So then as a mentor, so they can help you reach your full potential in him. Now, I'm not saying that people who don't love Jesus or people who aren't Christians, that you don't spend your time with them. That's not what I mean. I know there are people who, their family, they may not love Jesus, or their friends, It doesn't mean that you don't spend time with them, but they should not be influential in your life. If you want to be on fire for Jesus, if you want to love him most, those types of people need to be in your life. The people who aren't that way or who may not necessarily be as strong as you are should not be influential in your life, because they're not going to influence you to love Jesus more, which is your ultimate goal. So not only do we want to love Jesus more, we want to be like him. So the second one is, does it reflect his heart? So there are some things in this world that don't not reflect his heart. So an example would be watching like Shrek. That movie's not bad. It doesn't push you to Jesus, but it doesn't push you away. But there are some things that do not push you towards Jesus, like Cardi B. That's not pushing you towards Jesus. And for me, if I want to be like Jesus, if I want to be more like him, why would I want things in my life that don't reflect his heart? Why would you want that? If that's your goal, is to be like him, I need to be with people who are like him. I need to be listening and actively doing things to be more like him. If we want more of Jesus, we can't be filled with things that are pushing us away from him. If we want to be more like him, we can't be with people who don't want to be like him like we do. Because if I'm only filled in his presence, if I'm only full by his love, why would I want things that aren't representative of that in my life? We only become full when we are completely on fire to pursue him, to love him, to know him, to grow deeper in him, when that's the number one thing in our life. You see, if you want to be full and overflowing, if you want your life to be full of joy and just you have a mission and where you have purpose and where you have meaning and what you do matters, you have to fill your life with those things, and you have to be in his presence and things that represent his presence. You see, people who have a meaningful relationship with Jesus don't have one by accident. You don't stumble into a meaningful relationship with Jesus. To do that, you have to be in his presence and getting to know him. I think this second one is our mindset. Our mindset is so important, because our thoughts control our overall outlook on your life. They control your attitude and they control your thoughts, what you say and what you eventually do. But when we have a relationship with Jesus, we can have a positive outlook on life no matter the circumstances, no matter what's happening. We can have an attitude of gratitude and steadiness no matter what, because we have him. So Psalm 143:10, I think, describes this perfectly. It says, "Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground." So what I mean by level ground is that the highs and lows of life, so when things go my way or when they don't, when I have to wait or when I don't, that those don't sway us, because we have Jesus and that is enough for us. So an example of this would be, have you ever met someone where when they're having a bad day, oh, you know, steer clear. When their attitude changes, where they're negative, when they say things, when they get upset and raise their voice for no reason, where they're just overall moody and you just don't want to be around them. That is the exact opposite of being level with Christ. See, someone who's level with Christ knows that the bad days and the inconveniences of life don't sway them, because they have Jesus, and no matter what, that is enough for them, and that he is their anchor. Another example would be someone who, when life is going really great, they're really, really happy. Like, they're just so happy, it's through the roof, it's kind of excessive. But then when things go down, it's the exact opposite. They're a roller coaster of emotions, depending on how their life is going, depending on how things are going their way or not. But that's not what God calls us to. God calls us to a relationship of steadiness, because we know that His love is enough. That it's where I can be without or I can be with, but my life is incredible because I have Jesus. Paul talks about this in Philippians. I'm not saying this because I am in need, for I have learned to be content whatever the circumstance. I know what it is to be in need, and I know what it is to have plenty. I can do all this through Him who gives me strength. So the first verse is Paul telling us how he's been able to be content. The first verse, he's telling us that he is. The second verse is he's telling us how. And it's through Him who gives you strength. So that word do, the translation for it to what we would consider, it actually means endure. So what he's saying is when you have Jesus, you can endure all things. So you can endure the good and the best in life. You can endure that death in the family. You can endure that divorce. You can endure that job loss. You can endure that car breaking down. You can endure it all because you have Jesus and He is enough for you. And it's not just that we can endure it, but with Jesus we can have joy and peace and life through it all because His love is enough. And that is what we are hoping in. We can have a mindset of joy no matter what. We don't have to be a roller coaster of emotions because we have Jesus and He is what our anchor is. Thank you. So I think with all this, I just really want to explain God's love is so much more oftentimes than the lives that we're living. We're just scratching the surface of His love. His love has such a life that is so much better than just getting through. It's a life where we don't have to look for our validation or our purpose in others. It's a life where we don't have to worry. We can be worry-free. And I think where all that starts is having a relationship with Him. I think a lot of people come to church and they love it, and whether it's this church or another church, and they listen to Christian music and things, but it's about having a relationship with Jesus. It's about asking Him into your life so that you can walk with Him through life, that you can do life with Jesus. And if you're here today, and whether you are someone who is already walking with Jesus and you're really struggling, life has just been so hard and you don't feel like you have peace, you don't have joy, you're worried, you're burdened, you're tired. That's not for what life has to be. It's not what God has meant for you, and I hope it's not the life that you want to settle, because as believers, we don't have to settle because God has so much more in store for us. So I'm going to pray, and we're going to have a closing song. And if it's something that you're struggling with, whether you want to learn more about Jesus, you don't have a relationship with Him and you want one, or you are a believer and you're struggling, there's going to be an opportunity for you to be where you are, and someone will come and pray for you. We're going to have a quiet time, and I just would hate for you, if you're struggling or you want to know about Jesus, to leave, because I think today is a great day to learn more about Him and to love Him. So God, I just pray that we just grow deeper in our relationship with You, that our number one mindset, our number one goal in life would be to love You and to grow in You and to know You and pursue You, that we would wake up with purpose every day because You are in our life, that we wouldn't look for our validation in anything but You, that God, that Your presence would be something that goes with us all the time and something that we would experience 24/7. God, I just pray that for everyone in this room, you just let them know how much you love them and how much you care about them and how you have so much more than what their life is. God, we just thank you and we praise you for all that you've done and for your goodness. Amen.